Okay, we're talking about Parshas Chayesara, Hashem Shmuel, page Resh Mem Vav. So there's a lot of puzzling things about, first of all, that the Torah spent so much time talking about it, but why the thing is that Eliezer came, Kol Tov Adonu B'yado, he came with a shtar that Avram, who was one of the richest people in the world at that point, he was fabulously wealthy, he was a billionaire. So, and he writes a shtar, he's giving everything to Yitzchak when he gets married, he's making him a billionaire. So why would there be such a problem, Suel and Lavan, the Medrash, and Rashi brings it down, that they were trying very hard to prevent the Shidduch. Even the Chumash, it says, that they didn't want it to go, and she said, I'm going to go anyway. Something very puzzling about the whole thing, because based upon their perspective, you want to marry into Donald Trump's family. You want to marry into who was the head of Google?
Larry Page and Sergey Brin.
All these billionaires, you know, if you can get your daughter married to a billionaire son, so obviously, if that's what you only think about day and night is making being wealthy, like loving and pursuing, that's what the whole world, the whole agenda. So why would they be so resistant? Okay. You know, Eliezer, he was, of course, from Canaan. He himself was not really Jewish. And that's why Avram said, I can't let, even though he became a tzaddik, I can't let my son marry your daughter because you have the curse of Noach, and I'm afraid of that curse, it will come back to haunt us. I'd rather go with my family. They come from shame, they're blessed from Noach. Okay. Now, the thing is, it's a funny story here that Eliezer is a big tzaddik. He has a daughter. He gave her a very good Stern College Torah education. She's a great girl. But he can't marry the dream Shidduch, this Yitzchak, that he knows better than anybody else because he's been with him since day one. He even went to the Arcade with them, Eliezer. And his daughter is not acceptable. So why did Hashem do such a thing, put him in such a frustrating position? That he has a daughter, but she's rejected, he's rejected. Hashem didn't have to give him such a daughter in the first place, giving him a son or a race. It's one of these questions, you know, why in life are there these frustrating things going on? Okay. The thing is also we find, there's something we find that when Yaakov Avinu didn't want to send Binyamin down to Egypt as like the viceroy was demanding, so Yehuda said, I take responsibility. And the Chachamim say, he said, if I don't bring him back, I lose both worlds, this world and my Olam Haba, because he took such an awesome responsibility to lose everything. This one and the next, so Yaakov sent him. So why did Yehuda have to say such an extreme thing in order to convince Yaakov? I mean, if he's a capable man, Yehuda, he's capable. What is this curse that he says? I lose everything. I lose this world and next. But what did that accomplish? So things like this, people have a lot of abilities. And we know, and to a certain level, people know their own ability. However, there's certain abilities that people don't know that they have. We don't know all of our abilities. We don't know all of our potential. It's hidden. It's hidden from ourselves. So that mission to bring Binyamin back, that every possible strength that Yehuda would have had to be would have to be used Yitzhak needed every possible strength because it wasn't a simple mission. So, in order to motivate himself to use every possible energy and every possible strength that he has, even things he doesn't know that he had to take such a personal curse. That I curse myself if I don't do everything to get him back. If I don't actually get him back, I'll lose this world and the next. Then he was sure that he would use everything in his even untapped potential to save Binyamin. Very interesting point that we make commitments to do things. Usually we're committed by our limited abilities that we know we have, but we don't make commitments to do things beyond our abilities. But there are more abilities that we don't know we have. Sometimes you have to reach out deep and out, up and down to tap into these unknown abilities because the cause is so important. So you need some kind of special technique how to tap into this these untapped ability. So that's what Yehuda was doing. He was tapping into this untapped potential to be very, very, very strong despite the situation that he was in to get Binyamin down and back. Okay, now Eliezer.
What was this ability that he was like what ability?
He was very, well, he had an ability to stand up to a king. You know, you get intimidated when the president of the United States or the emperor of the world gets angry at you and there's lots of soldiers and army there all over the place. So how are you going to talk? What are you going to say? So, but he was able to, he faced Yosef down. That was only because of he had this untapped ability to be fearless, not to be afraid of anybody, have such faith in Hashem that he would say it no matter what. He'd tell the emperor off, even though all the soldiers and everybody's there, which he did. And he got Binyamin out. Now, Eliezer was a very loyal servant. Certainly he's going to do everything in his known ability to find the wife. But he knew, but there were certain untapped abilities that he wasn't even aware of that he could do. So what happened was like this. This is Shemishman's very interesting idea. He has a daughter who could be the wife. So listen to this. He knows that he wants that daughter to marry Yitzchak. But he also knows that Avram does not want her. So he says to himself, Eliezer, Avram's sending me to find somebody else to be the wife of Yitzchak. That's really against what I want. I don't want to do that. Because I would rather have my daughter. I come back and say, couldn't find somebody, and then maybe he'll think a second, and he'll say, maybe now it's time for your daughter. So I have I have prejudice not to be successful because of my interest in having my daughter marry her. So he knew himself. He says to himself, Dafka, because I have a vested interest not to succeed, not to find the wife in Haran, I, Dafka, will do everything in my ability to find the wife in Haran, because I don't know. Maybe I'm failing because of I don't have my full heart in this. I'll do more than comes to my mind on the first blush, because maybe I'm not thinking this and not committing myself enough because I have this interest for my own daughter not to succeed. So I'll do even more than I would otherwise do because I Dafka want to do what my master wants. I don't want to be hampered by my personal interest here. So you do more. It's a very interesting thing sometimes in this kind of a situation. We're asked to do something which is against our personal interest for a cause. Now we know that having a personal interest will handicap us, slow us down. So if you're a tzaddik, you say, dafka, because of that, I'm going to do more than I would otherwise do. I'll maximize my effort, because I don't want the interest to hamper me. I'll do even more than I would have otherwise done. So that was going on there, yes. But that was his, that's what he kept, that's really, can explain, that's why the Torah spent so much time on him, because this is an amazing personality, an amazing person, that Dafka, because his interest is not to bring her home, Dafka, he does much more than normally would be done to get her to come home. Because Itaka doesn't want to be hampered by his personal interest. That's why he davens that prayer at the beginning. That's why he comes up with this test. Hashem should help him. Because he's always afraid maybe he's going to be blinded by his personal prejudice. And he'll give up. So he says, no, I want Hashem to help me. I want the angels to come. Do everything possible to make it succeed. He shouldn't have this prejudice to fail. Okay. Now, there's a big problem here, is because Rivka is a big tzaddikus and she's surrounded by tremendously evil people, Lavan and Besuel. We spoke about this yesterday. How do you get the good out of the bad? How do you get the fruit out of the thorns and which are in the, on the peel? How do you get the sweet fruit of the cactus out? That's so easy. See that Yaakov had to spend 14 years in the yeshiva before he could go there and successfully get Rachel. He would go straight from his parents' house to Haran, he would not succeed because the evil was so strong. He only had to go 14 years to the yeshiva, Shem Ve'eva, and get himself spiritually very, very, very high. He's able to defeat the evil of love, and even that took him 20 years. Very difficult. Sometimes you face evil, it's very difficult to defeat it. You need extra special energy. Yaakov goes to Shem for Eva. Yes, sir. He knew he needed extra special energy to get this this rose out of the thorns of love and of this world. So, okay, so he had to get this extra special, extraordinary ability. It's very, sometimes you're in a very, very, very difficult and antagonistic environment. You need extraordinary ability to be able to bring out the good from it. You're forced to be there. Right? So what are you going to do? Give in to this antagonistic environment? Are you going to find some hidden ability to overcome it? You know, simple abilities, you think, I can't. Torah says you can find it. So Eliezer was able to discover something about himself. He was able to overcome Lavan and Psuel. So he says, what really gave him the ability was the fact that he was fighting his own prejudice with his daughter. Since he knew they had to overcome his prejudice, it's very difficult to overcome such a prejudice. So that gave him extra energy, this fighting with his own prejudices. Interesting. When he heard that they said the word to him, Bo Baruch Hashem, you're blessed, a said, oh, I'm successful because Avram told me I'm cursed. That's why he can't let my daughter marry Yitzchak. But now when I come here and I'm trying to get Rivka, they themselves tell me I'm Baruch. So I must be doing the right thing. Because he was able to get away from his prejudice, he became very, very high spiritual. He was able to do things which other people... Yaakov took 14 years, 20 years to get the girls he was supposed to marry out of love. And he did it in one day because of this struggle with his own prejudice. Yes?
Is there anything to be said, though, that... You know, Yehuda, you know, invoked this curse so that he could, you know, rise above. At the end of the day, he was still punished by the curse.
Right. Because a curse is a very dangerous... Such a curse is very... It's a powerful, super powerful, but also super dangerous. So, because he said it, he was doomed for a long time until Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get him out of the curse. Yeah, you hit a very important point. I'm happy you mentioned this point. The point is like this, that how do I get to this untapped energy which I have? Like, we all have it, and we can use it for good things, but obviously it's not accessible. There's no simple access. How do I get to it? Okay, so there's a good way and a bad way. The bad way is apparently to use curses. Okay, a person can use evil to get to that untapped energy. How does the ISIS, the jihadists, how do they get people to kill themselves while they're killing other people? It's a crazy thing. Not simple, and it takes extraordinary energy. In fact, one person does it, he inspires another 100. It's not simple access to do such a thing. Not a simple human thing to do. You have to tap into something very powerful inside, which says, I'll kill people and kill myself for the cause. So they have an evil strategy which gets the people to tap into that energy. Evil is a very powerful strategy. It can get people to do things which they otherwise would never do in the normal sense of normal life. So you find that among these ISIS guys, women, many of them are living regular, normal lives, like the people in America who did the bombings and whatever, the marathon or this, that. They're normal people, have regular jobs, and then something taps into something deep, which they themselves don't even know is there, to do for the cause, to give your life up for the cause. So, apparently it's some evil technique that they have, these ISIS, get the people to do it. But it's there. So evil is a method of tapping into this untapped potential to go beyond yourself to some different level. That's what Yehuda was doing when he gave a curse to himself. And that's something you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to curse yourself. In general, you shouldn't use curses. Curses are something that the Gemara said, the Pesukim say, that's what's wrong. Tov shaloti do. You're not supposed to curse. Even the cause is good. So anyway, but he did it, so he was punished for that. How do you get into this in a good way? You know, the thing is, all of us would like to get access to untapped potential, which is good, get much more energy and abilities to do things, but how do we get to that level in a good way? Okay, the people who take drugs, it's also a bad way. You can take drugs and then you can do things you would never do in your regular life, regular everyday life. Walk through fire. I don't know what the when on the influence of drugs, people would do things they otherwise would never do. So they want to have, they, let's say they want to have joy, so it's hard for them to tap into super joy. So you take drugs, you tap into it, now you're super happy. So it's, the super happiness is something inside that's untapped. There's no how to access it. Take the drug, it accesses it. But it's evil. It's an evil force because it's going to kill him. So how do you tap into this untapped potential in a good way? This is what they call the $64,000 question. Okay. One thing Shem Shmuel says is a very interesting thing. It's a paradoxical strategy. He says if you just simply forget about yourself. Whereas people are motivated, especially nowadays, almost completely by themselves. This is good for me, so I want to develop myself, I want to be successful, I'm focusing on myself. When a person focuses on himself, he'll probably just be able to do what he thinks he can do, because he's thinking about himself. If he doesn't think about himself, that will unleash the deeper potential within him. Thinking about yourself is one. Okay, it's good. I mean, I think about myself, so I get a basic fundamental strategy of what to do with my life. I think about myself. But on the other hand, that's locking the door on the untapped potential, he says. He says you give up thinking about yourself, and that opens the door for everything to come out. I don't understand why he says why that's true, but he says that's the truth. He says we give up. He says Eliezer in this story was giving up himself, right? Because for himself, he wants his daughter. So he was fleeing himself, saying, I'm not doing this for myself at all. Then he gets untapped potential to do incredible things, to stand down, to face down murderers and mafiosos and scoundrels and get their most precious thing, their daughter. Let their daughter leave. It's amazing. You could go into a mafia gangster house and just take his most precious daughter away. But if you have this untapped potential, which can do it, you can influence even them, they should give in. But it's only because he gave up himself. He wasn't focused on himself at all. It's a big chiddush. Basically, it's... this morning, Chaim Sober was talking about this, the difference between, he said, other meditations, or let's say secular meditation and Jewish meditation. Secular meditation is all about getting into yourself. The self becomes the core of the meditation. Jewish meditation is all about getting connected to Hashem, getting away from yourself. When you get away from yourself, we want to connect to God. By connecting to God, you get that connection, but as a side effect, you're going to get an amazing opening into your real self, which is inside and locked up. By opening it up, by turning away from yourself, you'll find that you will get that inside self coming out, that inside potential. That's what he says. He says the main thing is getting away from yourself. Okay, it's the antithesis of college. Where the whole college is developing yourself. He's saying don't develop yourself. Get away from yourself. He calls it running away from yourself. He uses the word levroch. Run away from yourself. Just, I guess, focus on what's good and what has to be done. Focus on the mission. What has to be done? Not you, but what has to be done? What's there? What's the thing which has to be done? And you have to do it. Not because it's you, not because it's yourself, not because it's just... It just has to be done, so you do it. He calls it running away from self. Running away from self brings out a whole new self-feeling, which is very, very powerful and can really do a lot of great things. He says that he actually made Lavan and Besuel because he had so much goodness in him at that point in this mission. He made Lavan and Besuel good people. All of a sudden, they found that there's something good that they were thinking. You know what? Let's let our daughter be happily married. Let her go. They all of a sudden were infected by his goodness, even though they per se were gangsters. It's interesting. He says he could do it because he was away. He ran away from himself. Okay. Yes.
So Yaakov ran away from himself.
Eliezer.
No, Eliezer did beautifully, but Yaakov ran away from himself. In other words, he ran away from his true self. He didn't run away from his bad self. He ran away from his true self, and so therefore, he couldn't do what Eliezer could do.
So you want to explain why couldn't Yaakov do Eliezer? Because you're saying Yaakov didn't have Yaakov had to. He said Yaakov didn't do this this method of running away from self.
Right, because.
Okay, I hear you saying.
From what I understood from my learning, Yaakov was supposed to be one half of the leader. Him and Esau. They were supposed to lead differently. Esau was going to be the political leader. Yaakov was going to be the spiritual leader. Okay. That was his true self, I think.
Okay.
The ultimate self, but he ran away from that mission.
Right. Okay. It's a good point. And very good point.
And also a vital point, you mentioned that he was going to the Yeshiva Chaim Ever.
Yeah.
So in order to get energy, but really he went there to give energy. Because why suddenly we hear about, we don't hear about these other Jews up until this point. Mm-hmm. So he went there to see what Torah they have. And didn't really have much of anything, so he gave them
good.
Torah.
That's a very good.
Otherwise, they would be part of the greater story of Judaism.
Very
so
good.
That's my father's good.
Very good point. Also good. Very good. Oh, Shatam, good. Okay, listen. It's a very 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 powerful idea, and I hope that at some level we'll be able to do it. When we're in a situation, the bottom line that he's teaching us is. In a situation requires extraordinary energy, just run away from yourself. Just be focused on what has to be done. Don't think about yourself. The less you think about yourself, the better it will be, the more energy and ability you'll be able to bring to bear to the task. The more you think about yourself, the less you'll be able to do it. That's the bottom point. That's the basic strategy. It's a very important point. This happens to be probably very true. General, I think anybody who's involved with coaching people to accomplish things will say, the more you think about yourself, the less you'll be able to do, the less about yourself and more about what you have. It has to be done, the better it will be. And that's what he's saying. That's the bottom line. Okay,
and by Yehuda.